Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there's a song from, I think, probably the 80s. You don't know it. None of you were born. It's called Yahweh is for Us. It was sung by Maranatha. You know Maranatha?
Yes.
You know Maranatha, but you don't know the song. Eh?
Yes.
Now, that is your homework. Between now and next Friday. It says Yahweh is for us. All of you go and learn the song. Eh?
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Some people see the Lord. Other people see obstacles. Other people see dangers. Huh? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But we choose to see the Lord. Amen? And the reason I talk about Yahweh is for us, you know, throughout the scriptures, God introduces himself using different names depending on what he is going to do. Now, the name Yahweh, which is really without the vowels in the Hebrew, was only introduced to Moses. He introduced to him the name Yahweh because it is God's, and of course the names of God depend on what he's going to do, on his nature. Now Yahweh is his redemptive name, the name he uses when he's going to redeem. So he introduced himself to Moses by Yahweh, and so he told Moses that you go into Egypt and go and tell Pharaoh, that king of spirituality, who believes that he is deity, go and tell him that the God of the Hebrews, Yahweh, has said, free Israel, because I want them to go 3 days journey into the desert and worship me. And then, in Exodus chapter 5, in verse 1, when Moses goes and appears before Pharaoh and says, Yahweh has said that this is what he wants you to do. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord. Now when he puts it in capital, he's saying Yahweh, God in the King James and the New King James. The God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Now, verse 2, Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know Yahweh, nor will I let Israel go. Now, you see, there is a challenge here which has been developed. God is saying, Yahweh has said, release my people. And Pharaoh says, who is that? I don't know him. Why should I obey somebody whom I don't know? And so he basically rubbishes. But of course, the Lord expected that. And he was about to show Pharaoh who Yahweh is. You know when somebody says, who are you? And you say, you want to know who I am? Okay, I'm going to show you who I am. Okay? Now, in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12, after all the plagues, and Pharaoh now has been, you know, when God was going to eventually kill the firstborn of Egypt. This is what he tells Moses, 12:12. He says, 12:12. He says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. You understand? Do you understand the context in which he's saying it? He says, who is he? Then he says, okay, now tomorrow, after you've been through all these plagues, he says, now tomorrow the final one is going to come. Then he ends by saying, I am Yahweh. Now, by the time the firstborn dies, Pharaoh is no longer asking, who is Yahweh? Because he has seen who he is. Amen? Have you ever seen, you know, I hope you're understanding the context. Eh? It says, I am the Lord. That I am Yahweh. Who is Yahweh? He says, hey, okay, relax. I will show you who he is. Now, these are very important things. Because you see, when I read the Bible, always, which I see so many people do not do, I put myself in the context of the people who lived at that time. And what these things meant to them. Like, for instance, when you remember the story of Hezekiah and Sennacherib, the king of the Assyrian army? Now, when I imagine, the Assyrian army had already conquered Israel. But now, there was just one small kingdom of Judah that was left. And the Assyrians, the way they used to do, they came in mighty numbers. If you've watched movies, you will know. There's a movie called 300. Who has watched it? Now, that's how they came. They came in huge numbers, intimidating. And actually, very many people said, we are not fighting you. What do you want? And then they gave them tribute. So, just by their intimidating nature, they actually avoided so many wars. But you see, the thing is, until you put yourself in the shoes of those people, imagine such a daunting army, which has already conquered the 10 tribes of Israel, and is now just coming for the two that is left, Judah and Benjamin, which form the kingdom of Judah. And then they come and they array themselves against you, and you know you have no chance. Because they come in huge numbers. You know the angel came and killed 185,000 of them. And it says just the men of valor. Now how many were they? Now imagine an army of 185,000 that time. Even now it would be a very daunting army. Because even the biggest nations in the world, I think the last time I checked, they're about 450 soldiers. American soldiers. 450,000. Now. But now that time there was 185,000. All those years ago. And they all come and they surround a place. And they say, don't bother fighting. You have no chance. Now, I want you to imagine what it felt like for the people there. And they say, man, we are in serious, serious trouble. And then, they trusted in Yahweh. Okay? And now when Hezekiah goes, he knows which name to call God. Because there are many. There's the creator, there's the what, you know, eh? The provider. Now he goes and says, Yahweh, that is God's redemption name. Look at how these guys have come for us. Now we really have no chance. In reality, we have no chance. But then, now then, you know that God answers with a word. Praise the Lord. Then they are there worshiping, says we have no word. Then the word of God comes upon one person. Can you imagine such a people? If it happened today, would you believe that person? You'd say, what if you're lying? Because you're going to be slaughtered. It's not like now where they are going to chase you out of a house. No, there you're going to die. And your children and wives are going to be slaves. And you're trusting God in that situation. Now I want you to put yourself in that time. Because you see, you can read these stories and they are just stories. Okay? But you put yourself there, you know you're finished. If this man is lying, God has not spoken to him, we are dead. We are dead though. Now, but you have to trust the Lord. Amen. Now, everybody, if you really, really put yourself in that situation that those people went through, you know that you cannot fear anything that comes against you now. Amen? Do you know why? Yahweh is for us. Eh? Just that. Yahweh is for us. Let me tell you. Because all throughout history, in 1967, all the armies of the surrounding nations surround Israel, and they are saying that in 48 hours, we shall have driven them into the sea. Now, on the one side of Israel is the sea, the Mediterranean. The other side, there is Lebanon, where there are soldiers. The other side, there is Jordan, where there are soldiers. This side, there is Egypt. In other words, the only place left for them to run is where? And yet, actually, all those were mightier armies than Israel at the time. Now, that might not look like that at the moment, because, of course, Israel now is mightier than all of them. But that time, they were not. And then, everybody knew that they had no chance. They really, really had no chance. But the only one thing in their favor, and I say this a lot, there was only one thing in Israel's favor. There is a word of God, a scripture, that says that when the Israel is planted back there, they shall never be uprooted. It's in Amos chapter 9. One sentence in the scripture, the whole armies of the world cannot do anything about it, as long as it comes from the mouth of God. Because he had a scripture from the Psalms and pushed it inside the hole in the what? In the wall. Now, when he left, somebody came and pulled out the piece of paper and found the scripture. And the scripture says it was the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. Now, that's... So what I'm trying to say is this. Praise the Lord. What I'm trying to say is Yahweh is for us. Amen? Like... There is nothing that compares with that. Praise the Lord. So, because right now as we speak, I wish you knew what, you know, everything, a lot of news has been turned towards things which do not matter, which is typical of the news world. But in reality, we are this close to a nuclear war. Very, very close to a nuclear war. Number one. Number two, the scripture says that nuclear war is going to happen. So it's a question of when, not if. It is going to happen. But then the scripture also says, when it happens, it's going to kill 1/3 of the population on earth. Now, there are some people who are trying to use vaccines to kill so many people. They might end up being the ones dying through this nuclear war, whatever. But Yahweh is for us. Amen? Because you see, they are doing their things. But there is something, because I was seeing the other day, Iran is about 60% of the way to making a nuclear weapon. To, you know, be having nuclear weapons. And actually putting them on the head. 60% of the way. But then Israel swore they will never allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. And then I said 60% of the way. And then I read in a military journal that they are just a few months away from getting to 100% and finally having the nuclear weapons they've always wanted. And then Israel is saying that we shall never allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon. So what is Israel going to do? Because Iran would have gotten that thing long time ago if it wasn't for Israel. Israel has been killing all scientists when they are on the verge of creating it. Iran would go and get scientists from Russia. When the guy has reached somewhere, they come and kill him with all his knowledge. Okay? And then they go and get another one, then they come and kill him. And then they would not kill them at the beginning because it's very expensive building that nuclear war, that nuclear weapon. So they first let Iran spend billions and billions of dollars until when they are almost arriving, then they hammer it so that they not only lose the weapon, but they lose all the money they have spent so far. But Iran is so determined that they go back to the drawing board and come back again and actually try again and again and again. Until now, actually, I think they have come the closest they have ever come to having it. And now, the other day, Israel went and did a simulation of a nuclear attack. And they called it, do you know what they called it? They called it Chariots of Fire. they are not playing games. They are not playing games. Because they know the minute Iran gets a nuclear weapon, that's the end of Israel. And Israel has, I think, probably the third or fourth biggest arsenal of nuclear weapons in the world. And they said, we'll use them when we face an existential threat. And as far as they are concerned, the existential threat is going to come from
Iran. That's the country they are scared of. And by the way, in this, even Saudi Arabia is supporting Israel. Because the whole of the Sunni Muslim population, that includes about 85% of the Muslims in the world, are Sunnis. And Iran is a Shia Muslim state. And they don't want Iran. Actually, Iran presents a worse enemy for Saudi Arabia than Israel. Because Iran wants to rule over the Islamic world. And Saudi Arabia does not want that, because the other ones are Shia, these ones are Sunni. And actually, the difference is not too much. It's a question of whom you believe was the heir to Muhammad's throne. That's where the problem came. Because the Sunnis believe somebody else was the heir to Muhammad, and the Shias believe another person. So that is the split. But they are so opposed to each other, to the point that the Sunnis believe that the Shias are not Muslims. They are going to Gehenna. So it's not like just small differences of these ones are Baptists, the other ones are Pentecostals. No. Because there is no serious person, whether you're a Pentecostal, who believes that Baptists, just because they are not like you, are going to hell. Yet they believed it. But those ones actually believe this is completely contrary. So the differences between them are major. And so Israel says we are watching carefully. And now what I found interesting, that even Biden's America seems to be supporting Israel to keep Iran under check. But Iran is, now the other day there was a big headline. You've not been following this because it's not in the news. Eh? The news is not in the news. Now, the other day there was a big headline in Tehran Times saying that just one small mistake from Israel, and they are going to be cleaned out. But then Israel is doing a simulation or a practice for a nuclear attack called Chariots of Fire. And they did it the other day, and they were pointing in the direction of Iran. It's clear cut. The war is going to happen anytime soon, by the way. Maybe that's what it will take to get us away from certain things. But anyway, I know the war is going to happen because the Bible says it is going to happen. Okay? And then it also says it's going to kill a third of the population in the world. So people who are worried about climate change, they might end up being the one going to what? To fertilize the ground. So that for us, we have good crops. Because that's what they want for us. And the scripture says what you wanted for your enemy and stand against you. Because that's what they are planning for us. Okay? They are planning that for us. They have given a lot of money to our governments to sell us out. But Yahweh is for us. So that's why people are so angry. They are, either they are going to inoculate those children and kill them, or they are going to possess them of that money. And they don't want to possess him of the money. That's why they are coming after me. But let me tell you something. The Lord told me clearly, go and do that. Now, if the Lord told me, there is nobody in this world, there is nobody. Nobody can intimidate me. The media are saying that I'm hiding. But I was taking a cappuccino. And now after here, I'm going to take another one. I'm not in the Nsiko. Am I? Everybody knows on Friday I come here. You, let me tell you something. The Lord told me, and he has prepared me through this. When the Lord told me, when the Lord tells you something, actually it was very specific. On the day when I went and started that thing of recently, 2 weeks ago, he even told me exactly which clothes to wear. I don't know why. So it is that important to him. So let me see which clown who calls himself a president or whatever is going to come for me when Yahweh is for us. Yahweh is for me. Praise the Lord. The man who destroyed the Egyptian empire. Okay, the God who destroyed the Egyptian empire. And showed them. And then told them, now you know who Yahweh is. There are some people who are going to know who Yahweh is. I'm telling you. Now, because, you see, the enemy can only work through fear. And his servants are not any different. If they cannot strike fear, they have no power. Absolutely none. Praise the Lord. So somebody was asking me within our thing. So I think now we should be careful. I said, don't be. Don't be. Careful about what? The scripture says, be careful for nothing, but in all things. Praise the Lord. Don't, I'm telling you, you people. The people who we read in the scriptures are there because they stood and believed Yahweh when all the odds were against them. Now, when you see all the things planned by those people and the amount of money they have to bribe our leaders, to set us away for their population control agenda, you sit and you wonder, what chance do we have? Let me tell you what chance we have. Yahweh is for us. Because they think, you know, I'm looking and seeing some, because when I was seeing this news, you wake up one day and there has been a huge nuclear war somewhere. Very big one. Because now the battle lines have been drawn. Russia is on the side of Iran. And the Bible even says that. Don't ask me where. Just keep on coming for what? Russia is on the side of Iran. China is on the side of Iran also. Now, those are huge armies. Iran with its army. A very powerful army, except without, not yet with nuclear weapons. Russia with its army, with nuclear weapons. The biggest arsenal in the world, even bigger than America's, is Russia. China also with theirs. Okay? Now, we've been talking about these things in the scripture and wondering when it is going to come. But now I actually see it is absolutely very close. And because the scripture says in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it says that the people who will die, they will bury them for 7 years. They will spend 7 years burying them. And it says that they will be looking in the field and somebody finds a dead body and he plants a tree and tells, and I mean plants a, like a pole and tells people there is a dead body here so that the people who are burying come and find it and go and bury. That's what the scripture says. 7 years burying. Now I'm thinking, 7 years, considering where I think we are in this timetable, that can't be too far. Because of course that can't be after the rapture. So you have to know that it's somewhere, somewhere. Okay, 7 months it says. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse. But it says somewhere else that today, indeed all the people of the land will be burying and they will gain renown for it on the day that I am glorified, says the Lord. But now this is the beginning. First start from chapter 38. You know the Gog and Magog war. Eh? Now the Gog and Magog war, I found the countries that Turkey is also going to be there on the side of Iran. I found that somewhere in the scripture. Set your face against Gog. Start from verse, until now it didn't come with my Bible. Because I need a consiko. But, no, it's in office and I didn't pass through it. Praise the Lord. And I saw the news. If you are a blatter, BB. Not Bukede, it was BBS. That you are a consiko, eh? Like as I'm Rambo eating, what? Start from verse 39. It says, chapter 39, verse 1. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh. Stay there. Now, message actually later came to be known as Moscow. And Tubal. Okay? Go ahead. And I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. Now this shows that when Israel sees that the armies are coming against them, they will do what we call a preemptive strike. That is in this scripture. You're saying, how did you derive it? And it sounds like I'm talking what I don't know. But you know, it says you will knock the bow out of your hand and the arrow will fall out. Amen? That means when you have a bow and you've stretched it and you want to strike and somebody hits you first and your arrow, instead of going, falls down, that's called a preemptive strike. Okay? Now, when they have loaded their nuclear warheads ready, then Israel will do a preemptive strike. There are so many scriptures, but many of you know them because we've been discussing these things before. But what I'm trying to tell you is that it is very, very imminent. You go and check all the threats that are going across between Iran. Don't look for them in the main news channels. They are not there. But you go and see check out the chariots of fire, the recent Israel simulation of nuclear. There are pictures of it, very scary, videos even, very scary, saying that these ones are going to be used when we face an existential threat, which they think Iran will be. So, my point is this. The Lord is doing something so great in our time. Okay? You go to Hebrews chapter 11. It says somewhere that by faith, what's the name of that prostitute? Rahab, the prostitute. And even calls her the prostitute. You go to where it talks about Rahab, the prostitute. Now, I found this very, very interesting. By faith, it even called a harlot, which is what? Harlot or prostitute? They are both worse. Praise the Lord. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. When she had received the spies with peace. Go ahead. Now I found this very interesting because by faith Abraham did this. By faith Enoch was taken. Now that is God's, the Hall of Fame, the Faith Hall of Fame. Now, we know what Abraham did. Amen? We know what Enoch did. But Rahab is also in the Hall of Fame. God's Faith Hall of Fame. And for what? Just because kept the spies, yes, but there was something more. Just because she could see ahead and knew that this Jericho, even if it's a stronger kingdom than Israel, we are going to perish. So she took a gamble. Because what if Israel had not overtaken Jericho? Imagine somebody who keeps spies. And after she keeps spies, the spies go back to their commander, Joshua. And instead of preparing to fight, they start walking around the wall 7 times. Now, in these days, you would call that person stupid. Isn't it? Because faith is stupid in the worldly way of thinking. Because now, instead of you go and fight, but now they are walking. Now imagine the people up on the wall of Jericho, seeing these guys walking, and they say, what kind of people are these? We thought we were going to face soldiers. We didn't know we are facing clowns. Then they walk one day. Then on the 7th day, it says now walk 7 times. But you see, What made Rahab be in the hall of fame of faithers is because she saw and said that this thing, this movement is dying. The Jericho thing. I think the Lord is with the other guys. So let me take a gamble. And she even told them that when you come and conquer Jericho, spare me and my family. Now that's somebody who had faith. Imagine she's telling that to people who are walking around the world. So God says that, hey, that is, you know, faith is taking a gamble. Amen? There is nothing like faith that does not involve taking a gamble. And she says that she sees where the direction of what the Lord is doing is, and she goes in that direction. And just for that, actually, not only was she in the hall of fame of Hebrews 11, you go to the next verse and see. Then he says, verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time will not fail me to tell of Gideon. Now, you know, you remember what Gideon did? Eh? He destroyed the whole Amalekite army. But for him, he has been put in others. Rahab is here. Eh? Now they say, we don't even have supposed to talk about Gideon. Can you imagine? And Barak and Samson. You know what Samson did. But we don't have space for them. But let us, you know when they say a mention, eh? When they give you a mention, that the top what? The top guys are this. Then they give a special mention. Now, these guys, the other lady is in what? Is in the top. These ones are mentions. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets are also in the what? Others mention. You know, like when they say the top TV stations, eh? Then they put this one, this one, this, then they reach like six. Eh? And they say this one, 18%. This one, 15. This one, what? Then they reach others, 5%. Now, these ones are in others. Eh? And you wonder what was so special about that? Just because she realized that the direction of what God is doing in this side. Now you see, when you stand up against all what is happening in the world, right? When you consider what is happening in the world right now, and then you stand up and tell people that no, it's all going to vanish. God is with us, and we come out on top. Now, if the book was still going on, if there was another Bible going to be written, they would say, by faith, Joshua believed that even if they raided an office, my point is, let me tell you, we really are in a place where you have to believe God. And man, God loves you to believe him. That's how important. Like you say that I know everything is not, but I believe you. Okay? I will trust in you. And you are God. And then he says, now this is. Because he's going to do it anyway. But it is such a powerful thing for him when you show him that I'm not moved by any of these things because I know you are with us. Amen? Now imagine David who conquered Goliath is in others. Samuel, others. The prophet, others. Then the harlot in the top 10. You know, I'm telling you, I want you to imagine what it was like, because this woman did not have any experience with Israel. She had not known about them. She did not know anything about what they had been through. Remember, it was 40 years later. I don't think she was 40 even yet. So she had not even heard. Perhaps she had just distantly heard stories of Egypt and so on. But she just looked and said, no, I know what? I think this is where the Lord is moving. And because she was not even among these people, and because she had no experience, she did not even know the God she was trusting. Even in this chapter, does it talk about Ruth? Now you see that this woman, the harlot, was one of the great grandees of Jesus. You know that? That's how important. Can you imagine that? That was such a powerful thing for God, for somebody in the kingdom of Jericho to believe him. He said, what? So you've chosen to believe me. Now, she's in the Hall of Fame. And no more than that, if you go to Matthew where they are talking about the lineage of Jesus, you find Rahab, and they still call her the prostitute. But she's there. Some of you are laughing at prostitute, but I wish you knew what a prostitute is. In the Old Testament, I'm not talking about now. Some of you will get angry. In the Old Testament, you were either married, a virgin, or a... So if you are not a virgin and you're not married, there is a word for you. That is in the Old Testament. Now we are in a new covenant. Praise the Lord. And all the ladies said. But the scriptures here, I know. That was Nyongeza. So now I'm telling you this, that at a time like this, we say, a man like, okay, not even whatever is that, but my point is, God calls people to do things which look like they are very inconveniencing. And I told you the last time I was here, that do not slacken when the Lord calls you, because he wants to call upon you and know that he has you. So, one of the worst things that can happen to even a believer is when you are unmovable. There is nothing that moves you. And I've seen so many such people. You tell them nothing, they are unmovable. Even God looks at them and says, now there is nothing I can do for you. You can't be moved. God, even if he appeared to you in a dream, you think the simplicity of Joseph in the Bible, when his wife is pregnant and he knows he hasn't done anything, then an angel comes to him in a dream and says, no, do not put her away, because what she has is by the Holy Spirit. Some of you guys would say, Wanji, that is a dream from the devil. But imagine those people who he trusts. Then the angel comes up in a dream. None of this was... Only Mary saw the angel in person, Gabriel. Joseph, it was in dreams. Now carry the child and take him to Egypt. In the morning, in the night, he wakes up, gets his family, and starts going to Egypt. Now some of you would really struggle to be that sort of person. You don't even know where you're going. Then Egypt, now, okay, go back. The people who sought the child's life are dead. Praise the Lord. Now, who of you doesn't get instructions in dreams? Who? None of you. Not a single one of you doesn't get instructions in dreams. If you do not, you're probably spiritually dead. And you're not. But do you do them? Or do you wake up and confuse yourself? Do you know what people do when they don't want to obey? They know what the dream means. But they say, but maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe it doesn't mean, and then they confuse themselves. They call it obfuscate. The dream. Confuse the meaning just because you don't want what the meaning is. It's inconveniencing. It is telling you to go and do something. Then later on you discover that you have stagnated. There is nothing positive happening in your life. And it was all tied to one instruction, which if you had obeyed, you would have been in a totally different place, completely. But you refused to obey. And now God is saying, you go praying and says, but I told you what to do. And if you had done it, you wouldn't be coming crying to me. And the biggest thing here is, by the way, disobedience. And the reason people disobey is because they are mindful of what the world has to say. You are concerned about what your friends have to say. Okay? Wikipedia described me as one of the most famous anti-vaxxers. Over what? They changed a bit and toned down. They said I'm against forced vaccination. But at the beginning, they were very... And you know where? Everywhere they are anti-vaxxer. Now, if you really cared about what they thought, you cannot do the things I'm doing. If you really, really cared. But then if you know that, number one, you have two choices. Either you obey God or you obey the world. There is no in-betweens. Sometimes I look at those things which, and I say, man, these guys are harsh on me. Eh? But it's okay. Because Yahweh is what? Eh. And there is a, that kind of thing of concerned about what will people think, what will, what. Man, that's where the devil comes in. And I showed you that scripture the other time, Matthew 8, 16, where Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan. And you know why he called him Satan? Because you are mindful of the things of men and not the things of God. Now, Satan is anything that makes you mindful of the things of men rather than the things of God. Now, there is a president of an African country. But he turned around and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Now, imagine, he calls him Satan, and he says, you are an offense. This is his lead disciple. You are an offense. Why? You are mindful of the things of men. Now, there is this guy who was president, who was elected president the other day. And he said God sent him. He was a pastor. And he said this is part of ministry and what. Then when he had just become president, I used to listen to his speeches. Very, very powerful speeches. He would give a 5-point program. Servant leadership. We have enough resources to share among all of us. There is no reason for anybody to be greedy and what. I said, now this is a man. Now all Christian people were going to interview him. A pastor who is a president. And who says that God sent him to go and stand. And he became president. But now, he is completely tied in with the new globalist agenda, the new world order agenda. He's way up there with Museveni. They probably think the same way. A pastor. Why? He's mindful of the things of the world. Because he doesn't remember how he got there. Now, that is the problem of children of God. You have to have it at the back of your head that even this platform I have, I would not have it if it wasn't for the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. I did not just create it. So I have to be mindful only of the things of God. I don't care about the things of... Because, do you know the people... There's a friend of mine who the first time I came up and warned people against those needles. Because you see, people have not been following. I've been following these people from the early 2000s. And they have been repeating over and over again how the population of the world has to be reduced. They have said it in so many different ways. I preached it here before any of these things happened. Okay? And I said, these people, and I know they don't just talk. They act. And I'm thinking, how are they going to do it? Of course, I kind of knew what they were going to do. I thought they were going to create new viruses and the viruses will kill people. But then later on, I realized the viruses will not kill people. Something else will kill people. So now, when the thing comes, I warned certain people, don't take that thing. You regret. One guy told me, "Anoza kufa nko mushema." What does it mean? I won't die like a fool. I said, okay, let's see who will be the fool. Then, one of them recently has become even a bigger anti-vaxxer than me, but he was vaccinated. But now he's fighting vaccination for what? For children. And they used to abuse me. Abuse you, you're what, you this, you're that. Now the funny thing, even the other day, you know, I went and said on TV that I told the headmaster of my school that if you vaccinate my child, I will kill you, and I mean it. Now, you saw that video, and I actually told him. So you're going to say, man of God, is you kidding? You'll be fine. Okay? Now, the other day, just this week, I went and I found a cabinet minister. Guys who outwardly are you fighting government programs, I found a cabinet minister whose name I won't say. And the guy told me, thank you very much. I totally support you on that one. The others, I might, you know, not agree with you. But on that one, I went and told the headmaster of my child, I would also kill you. I am telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I said, what? He said, I also told him. And you know, he's from the north, so he talks in a very authoritative way. It's very authoritative. I told the guy, you're joking with me. If you left, I said, hey, you mean honorable? He said that. You think I'm joking? I said it. I don't want anybody playing with my kids. But you go and ask him when he's sitting there on a platform. And then he was not alone. There were other top officials. And all of them are supporting me on that. But you see, if you keep quiet, that's what the enemy wants, is you keep quiet and everybody supposes everybody is happy with it. There has to be a voice coming out and being contrary. Then you find that so many people follow you. Now, at the beginning, it was very unpopular. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because God is going to send you to do things which are unpopular. But he knows what's coming ahead. Amen? They might be unpopular, but God knows what's coming. You stand out and go, you will be shocked. I got phone calls from people. I was even shocked. One of them even called me at midnight. I said, then he's a man of God. Man of God, I am supporting you. Now, you know this thing is like Bisiaga. People want to silence every voice against, and yet there are so many people against. So when you come out, they try to silence you. But that's the way of the devil. Close every broadcast. Broadcast hell. Straight from hell. Until some people come and say, no. This is not what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. When the trouble is, the people who have been doing it thus far, especially in the Western world, don't necessarily have the anointing to do it. Now, the difference between them and us is that for us, we have the anointing, and Yahweh is for us. If your opposition is purely just opposition, you understand? You're purely opposition, opposing this and that, they can easily silence you and even kill you. But you think anybody is going to kill me? They are not. Not because they don't want to. But because Yahweh is for us. Let me tell you, they can't. The first thing, do you know, I have, from when I was a, you know, I've always been a radical. Now, this is my nature. So one time I tried to stop it, then I realized that if I stop it, I lose myself. Because God called me knowing who I am. He's not surprised by anything I do. So he doesn't say, hey man, I didn't know you were like that. No, he knew. So I was writing in the media and some guys tried to kill me. And it was actually a very, very serious thing. It was early in the early 2000s. I knew I'd touched a very raw nerve somewhere. And I'd touched a nerve of somebody who had a lot of money and was, you know, this reckless. Actually, after that incident, one of my friends, who had also been hammering in the media, came and told me that, Kableta, be careful with very rich, illiterate men. They are very dangerous. That's what he told me. Be careful, rich, illiterate men. They are dangerous. He told me that those people even kill for a woman. Then he told me, now, for me, if you come and take my woman, even if I love her so much, I can't kill you. But those illiterate men, be careful. I'm just giving reported speech. I am not... The views expressed by that man are not necessarily mine. But my point is that he knew they wanted to kill me. And he said that, I can't do anything to you. Not that I'm happy, but I will just say, but those were those people. So they came for me. Now that time, that's the first time I realized that, you know what? Living in this world, because they had been so... There have been so many attempts, by the enemy to finish me off. So many of them. And the Lord has spared me from all of them. So many. And then I got to believe what the Lord said. The Lord Jesus said that, you see those sparrows which are sold 2 for 1 copper coin? Not even they can fall without the permission of your heavenly Father. Then he said, how much more are you? So you can't tell me that there's anybody who can kill me? Are you kidding me? Jesus said even the sparrows God has to first say, okay, it's okay. You can have it for Christmas. That's what Jesus said. Don't you know he said that? Man, that thing changed my life. Now you can't scare me with it. It totally revolutionized my life. Are not five sparrows sold for, I even said two, there are five, for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God. Go ahead. No, you get the scripture in Matthew. That's where he says, in Matthew, I think chapter 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Yeah, now here it is. And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your father's will. Can you imagine sparrows? Even sparrows, God has to say, yes, I've allowed you to kill it and eat it. And you say you can kill Kableta? Are you kidding me? It's not possible. It's not. Unless you have a higher voice than Jesus. Me, I believe Jesus. And by the way, let me tell you. If you try, and God does not want me dead, you'll die instead of me. If God jams and you're over trying, he might first save me. Say, who are you? What did she? How are you? I still want the watchman here. I still have some business for him here to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. You cannot. This scripture revolutionized my life. By the way, it totally, even if you got a gun and cocked it in front of me, I'm telling you the truth. Because Jesus said. And now let me tell you, you choose to believe. You choose whom you believe. You can believe anybody in the world, but Jesus said, is there any higher voice? Because everything we have is by the word of God. Everything. There is nothing that I have is not by the word of God. And this is the very word of God, spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no higher voice. That seals it for me. Now, they can pull all sorts of things. I'm not telling this about myself. I'm just trying to give you the mentality of this end time. Okay? Imagine what when God expects you to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who stand and say, no, we'll not worship your gods. Then he said, there's no need to even continue discussing this thing. If you want to put us in the fire, you go ahead and put us. And our God will save us. But even if he doesn't, let it be known to you, Nebuchadnezzar, that we shall not worship your gods. And you think those people are in the scripture for nothing? You think they are there because they feared? There were so many cowards, none of them are we reading in the Bible. Amen? Glory to God. And you see the devil says, you have young children, who is going to look after them? Are you kidding me? I am going to look after them. I'm still in town. I am going to look after them myself. I want you people to get this radical thing, because Yahweh is for you. Like Yahweh is for you. You understand? Eh? Yahweh is for us. Like nothing can happen. You know Yahweh is for us. So you look at all the people who are against you. Even Paul said it. If God be for us, who can be against us? You look at all the people against you and you say you're joking. Yahweh is for what? Yahweh is for us. Go and learn that song, you people. Eh? By Maranatha. It's not an easy, eh? But we have to dance a bit to it. It's a wonder. I used to enjoy listening to it way back those days when I had my first car. Eh? You know those coronas which they used to call Chitara? Eh? It wasn't even a corona. It was worse than that. It was, I had a cassette. See you. Yahweh is for us. And man, I had a nice time. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want you children of God to get out of. Believe God. Believe his word. He's God. There is nobody higher than him. There is no force higher than him. Just believe him. Read the word and say, this is true for me. Amen? When you start, you will know that you can't be broke, because the scripture says you're blessed. Glory to God. Now, when you believe it, you'll never be broke. Because it will be contrary. Because you see, the scripture says, it says that your word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Eh? Your word, O Lord, is forever settled where? In heaven. So, which means that the fact that you are blessed is settled in heaven. But is it settled in your heart? The reason you are not rich is because it's not yet settled where? Now it's up to you to settle it in your heart. The way I settled in my heart that you can't kill me. It's not in anyone's power. Any human being's power. Now, you say, so the fact that you're rich, settled in heaven. The fact that you're healed, settled where? The fact that you're blessed, that you're a conqueror, that you are, all of those things are settled in heaven. The question is, there is still an argument inside you. You maintain an argument inside you. But okay, if it says this, how come it's not happening? And you're arguing. Yet you're supposed to be believing. So you're arguing with what something which is settled. So as far as God is concerned, all these things are settled in heaven. But you're maintaining arguments. And you know, you don't understand how powerful. Forever, Lord, your word is settled in heaven. What a powerful thing. Settled. I'm going to, and that doesn't even mean necessarily the word what? In the Bible. It also means these words which he speaks to us. Okay? And he says, you're going to be settled in heaven. Now, it's up to me to settle it where? In my heart. Now, read 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, start from verse 3. It says, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Okay? Then it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds and casting down what? There is nothing that you believe that will not be confronted with an argument. The devil comes at you with arguments, and people don't understand how powerful these arguments are. Okay? So you're believing, let's say that you're rich. Then the devil comes and says, but what's in your wallet? Then he starts an argument. And as long as the argument exists, you never see the word. You are supposed to cast down the argument and say, forget, the Bible says I'm rich, and that's what it is. But you have no money, shut up. The Bible says I'm rich. The word of the Lord says what? I am rich. It says that in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Okay? And other scriptures. For even though you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through him might be rich. Okay? Now, that is settled in heaven. But you see, the devil comes up with an argument. And the minute you tolerate the argument, your faith goes. Now, there is only one solution to all the arguments that come against the word of God. God said this. That's what it is. I believe this. You say you have to be careful about what you eat. What? I said, but Jesus said this. Eh? So if you want to kill me, first go and ask for permission from him. If he doesn't give you permission, you will die instead of me, trying to kill me. Now, I settle it in my heart. Settled. Completely settled. Now, there are all these things which, now it says here, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, let me tell you this. A high thing is something that comes to supplant itself over the word of God. So somebody comes and there's an argument that has been created inside you, within you. But that's the most powerful place where arguments are. You're saying, yeah, but if God said this, and how come this? What? How come that? How come that? How come I've been sowing? I'm not receiving. What? But then you see, you're not receiving because you did not believe Jesus said, given you to be given to you. Now, that is not supposed to be argued about. Your experience is zero. It does not mean anything. Amen? Your experience means nothing. What matters is the word of God. Complete, just the word of God, period. Now, when you settle it in your mind that God is supreme, now then strongholds, go back to verse 4. It says, for pulling down of strongholds. Now, strongholds present themselves in the way of something you've believed all along, which is not true. That you're poor, that you have to work very, very hard to do all things which you've believed. and they have fomented your dogma from when you were raised. My son, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to. And you go and believe, and they become strongholds in your mind. And there's only one way you cast down strongholds, by getting a word of God that says the exact opposite. And every time you think that, there's some people who have strongholds of sickness, and becomes a stronghold, sickness. So when they say, you know this, you say, ah, but man, you don't know, like, we are like this, and it's a stronghold. Other people have a stronghold of anger, of temper. And you can pull down strongholds just like that, just by training your mind not to go in the direction that it wants to go. Somebody does something which would annoy you, and you just come up with a scripture and say, no, no, the wrath of man does not bring out the righteousness of God. The scripture says that. Then you refuse to get angry. And then the first time you do that, I can say other things, strongholds of lust, and so many others. Now, the first time you start going in the face of it and say, no, I'm not going to be angry because the scripture says this, you even... But the more you do it, the more actually you realize that it is going down, 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 down. The next thing you know, the stronghold is dead, and the things which used to annoy you no longer annoy you. And now that's a stronghold because it has been put there. Now, for some people, poverty is a stronghold. The other day, somebody was telling me, but I want you to explain to me. Explain. How does this money thing work? And then I looked at him and I saw he had a stronghold of what? Of poverty and of lack. And it gets into you and you cannot think in a certain way. You always think poverty. You always think lack. You always think there's going to be something that is missing. You never think that you'll be in abundance. You do not believe that you're going to be in abundance. You don't. You always think lack because poverty has become a stronghold in your mind. Now it says, for pulling down. Now, how did that stronghold come? People think that the devil is going to come at you with clothes. No. He actually comes and plants something in your mind. It can even be through preachers. And then it becomes a stronghold. And then you believe it. And then now overcoming it, you have to work and say, I'm overcoming the stronghold of poverty. And if I told you the things which I did to do that, you start spending money which you don't have. I'm not saying follow this same example. But then, if you did, you'd realize that. But first of all, the very first thing I did, when I realized I had a stronghold of poverty, because somebody tells you he spent, you know, I spent this money, I went to and spent this money, and the first thing that comes to your mind is, huh, you guys can waste money. If you've ever thought about somebody wasting money which is not yours, that is the definition of the stronghold of poverty. I'm telling you that one, diagnosis, poverty, plus, plus, plus. Where somebody goes and buys a suit of 8 million and you start saying, huh, name one on a saint. You've heard those people, eh? Poverty. Poverty. Because it's not your money. You understand? Eh? Hey, also, you spend yours the way you want, if you have any. But you see now, I used to be like that, where you are thinking, as long as this car takes me from point A to point B, you know that sort of thinking. Eh? Then, when I realized it's not of God, I went and started 2 Corinthians 9, 7. 9:8 actually. 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards me, that me, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, I mentioned this scripture until I would even dream when I'm saying it. God is able to make all grace abound towards me. Because I wanted to remove the stronghold of poverty. So that I in all things may have an abundance. Abundance. If I want to do this, I do it and I have an abundance. So that you have an abundance for every good work. If I want a certain car, I will buy it and some money is left over. If I want a certain cloth, I will buy it and some money is what? Left over. And I'm telling you, I repeated this scripture and repeated it and repeated it and repeated it and repeated it until eventually my mindset started changing and I was now thinking abundance. Now I'm thinking abundance. I no longer have. Have you ever seen somebody who he pays money at the beginning of the month for rent and the first thought in your mind is, where am I going to get rent for next month? You know what I'm talking about? That is what they call poverty. You can't even enjoy the 30 days that you have. Praise the Lord. That's poverty. And make it, and you can, all these things, the word of God is, you can be just set, end the argument in your mind. Because in heaven it's settled. Okay? So you settle the argument in your mind. Now, the devil comes to create arguments. The same thing as he did with Eve. Did God say that you cannot eat any of these fruits? He knows God did not say that. Because they had to eat fruits. But he's starting an argument. No, he did not say we can. All the others we can eat. But there's this one. He said, what did he say? He said that if you eat it, what? That we shall die. You will not die. Now an argument has started. No, he said we'll die. No. That's what he said, but it's not the truth. And now you're actually entertaining the devil. There are things which you don't argue about. I am rich. But you don't have any. I'm rich. That's what the word says. You don't have any. Shut up, I'm rich. This is what the word says. Then when you do it long enough, you actually discover that the argument has died. And then eventually you see the experience. The actual experience in your life. Amen? The ability. Jesus died for you to be rich, just as he died for you to be forgiven of your sins. The difference is that, I was talking to my brother some time ago, and he was telling me what the Lord was telling him about healing. And said people struggle to believe Jesus for healing because they have been taught to the contrary. You see, from when you're young, you get sick, you take a pill, and what? Until you get sick, and now there is no pill to take. But he said, the Lord told him that, do you notice that the price Jesus paid for your sins is bigger than the price he paid for your healing? But you see, when you call somebody to get born again and you pray for him, you don't say that you go and find out if you got. No, you just say, Joshua is now born again because you have faith for that. But actually, it's the bigger faith you need. The healing is supposed to be easier because it was just his stripes. The other one took his life. Do you follow up people to say, he said he's born again, but we don't know. No, you believe. How many people want to receive the Lord? They come forward. You believe them. Then you say, today, 30 people gave their lives to Jesus. Because you have faith that when somebody says the sinner's prayer, he gets born again. Now, if you believe the same thing, then they say, pray for somebody to get healed. Then they say, but go and check yourself. You go and check if you're born again. Because you know what? The word of God says that. So now settle the argument inside you. Settle it inside you. Praise the Lord. Abraham to give birth to a child when he was 99 years old or 100 years old when the child was born. The reason he's called the father of faith is he had to settle certain arguments in his mind. And the scripture says them in Romans chapter 4. He said, considering not his body, he trusted in God. Now imagine he knows his body can't, but he said, no, my body is not an issue. God said that I'm a father of nations. Yeah, but no, don't tell me about it. Don't tell me, I don't want to hear. God said. That's why the scripture calls him the father of faith, because he settled it in his mind that this is what God said, this is what is going to happen. Okay? And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Imagine where there is something in front of you which is obvious, but you say, I'm not considering it. They are chasing you out. I'm not considering chasing me out of the house. I'm rich. Don't tell me about those things. Now somebody would say you're stupid, but that's what Abraham did. Because, obviously, you can't give birth. But he said, no, but God said. And that's it. That settles the argument. Now, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now settle it in your heart. Whatever it is you want, get a word and settle the argument. No more arguing with the devil. Because the only thing the devil can do is bring up what? Arguments. And he can bring up arguments using so many things, by the way. Even using your body. I remember the first time I tried to do this, that thing, that healing thing. Oh, my God. My God. I had dysentery and malaria at once. Then when I woke up, I said in the morning, I'm not going to church today, I'm sick. Then I said, but no, by his stripes I was healed. So I wanted to stay in bed and stay where there is a toilet and confess healing. Then they said, but it's Sunday. If you're healed, go to church. Then I said, okay. So I dressed up, went one more time to the toilet, then started saying, by his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. This is about 1995. By his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. By the time I was leaving the house, my stomach was rumbling. And I felt I'm just going to embarrass myself. Imagine boarding a taxi when you're like that. Something very bad can happen to you. But I just kept on saying, by his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. I said it under my breath all throughout. I reached church. I went. Now, the way the church was, I was supposed to, there were ways I used to sit in front here. So I was supposed to sit in front, but the toilets were behind. So when I arrived at church, that was already a testimony in itself. I had not embarrassed myself thus far. But then when I reached, I said, let me sit in behind here in case. Then the voice of the Spirit said, but you sit in front. You're saying you're healed. Why are you sitting behind? I said, okay. Then I went in front. Narrow. I went in front, narrow, and sat there properly. Meanwhile, I'm still saying, but people were worshiping. I was only saying, by his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I was healed. But people worshiped. The pastor preached by his stripes. I can swear to you, I did not hear anything the pastor said. The only thing I was hearing is, by his stripes, I was healed. Now, somewhere in the middle of the sermon, the rambling stopped. And now I started following what? No, actually, I forced myself to follow the sermon in spite of the stomach rambling. And I was keeping on saying, by stripes I was healed. Then I even stopped because I got carried away with the sermon. And then I even forgot that I was supposed to be sick. Then I moved on and on. Then the service ended. They say, hey, everything is okay. Now my stomach was absolutely stable. The rambling had stopped. Then I went and made a mistake. There is a lady who was in the same church who was a 5th-year medical student. Now I went and told her, but today I woke up sick. But, you know, by faith, now I'm healed. What? Said, hey, okay, it's nice to know you're healed by faith. But in case it comes back, hey, let me give you a prescription. Now I said, look at this chick. Immediately she said that, the stomach started again. I am telling you. And then I started, by his stripes, I moved away from her. I said, okay, bye, bye. By his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes. Then it stopped. And then now the dysentery went completely. I went back home. But the malaria was there. Serious malaria, by the way. I was sweating like a fish. Completely, my clothes were all wet. My shirt was wet. I was sweating. And I had to walk home. I think I had transport one journey. So I walked. I didn't know I actually walked home. It wasn't even very far, but I walked. Kush, kush, kush. By stripes, I was healed. I reached home very weak. Zero appetite. My bones aching. Malaria 311. But by his stripes, I was what? Yes. Then I remember it happened at around 6 p.m. that same day. That's when the words I was speaking with my mouth finally sank in my spirit, and I knew that I was healed. Now, you could not convince me that I was sick, yet actually my body was still very, very sick. Amen? But I was absolutely convinced that I was healed. It must have been around 94, because I remember there was a World Cup around that time. It was 94. So I went home. There was a World Cup in America, which games were 2:30 a.m. and what. So I woke up to watch whatever. Now, I was not even saying by stripes I was healed. Now it had already gone here. The argument had been settled in my mind, in my heart. Okay? I was no longer trying to argue. So I even watched football, finished, went to sleep, woke up in the morning, went to town, came back walking from town, walking. But sweating, feeling pain in all my joints, but knowing absolutely, you could not convince me that I was not healed, even if you brought what. But my body was still very sick, by the way. Then eventually, I even remember the very place where it happened, on Acacia Avenue. Now there are so many bars there. I was walking from there. I used to stay in Kamocha, so I was walking from town. Very weak, but not even concerned about the sickness, because I knew I was healed. Then suddenly, suddenly, the malaria vanished completely, and I became very healed, as if I'd never been sick all my life. And actually, it was so spectacular that even when I reached home, I dressed up and went to play football. That is the time when I said, as soon as that happened, I remember in that place on Acacia, I remember I said that I will never, ever get malaria again in my life. All these years later, I have never. And I will never. Now, you see, Jesus said that if you speak to this mountain and you do not doubt, at that point, I did not doubt. So if I had said that I will never be broke again, man, it would have saved me a lot of trouble. Anyway, but my point is this. When it is settled in your heart, it might take a short while before you see it, but you will know it. You're no longer gambling. You know, the way I knew I was healed, yet I was actually sick. Now, when you're believing God, let's say for finances, first settle the argument. Don't worry about money. Settle the argument in your mind. When it is absolutely settled, you'll start behaving like you're rich, yet you are not yet. You understand? In the out, but you inside you're convinced you're rich. So you start doing things like a rich person, yet there is no evidence to show it. But when that happens, even if the devil does what, you are going to get there. Like once it is settled inside you, there is nothing in this world that can stop you. And it will happen in a very short time. The difficult part is settling it in your mind and in your heart that this is what the word of God says, 2 Corinthians. You know? Chapter 8, verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even if he was rich, yet for my sake, he became poor, so that I, through him, might be rich. So that is settled. I'm rich. Chiwede. Now, it will not chiwede there. I'm trying to teach you that these words here, they have all the solutions. God does not have any solution apart from his word. You know that. This is it. So just believe it. Settle it. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Praise the Lord. It is settled in heaven. It is settled in my heart. It is settled somewhere. Now, every day, after I've convinced myself of one, I go to another. And then to another. To make sure that I break every stronghold that is not of God. I break the stronghold of poverty. I say I will never lack again. Then I move to a stronghold of sickness. I say I will not be sick again. Then I break a stronghold of anything that I want. I just get a scripture, believe it, and know it is settled. And I settle it here. And after that, you will see. People have not seen spiritual money because they have not believed these things. But you know there is money which is spiritual. Where somebody will come to you and they want something, then another one comes and they have it. And in between there, you make 10 million. But because the word was settled, and now that word has to give birth to something, when it is settled, it starts producing things which are spectacular. It produces promotions, it produces travels, it produces what? But it started with the word. Then people say, how come that guy is always moving? He moves from one good job to another and what? No, it started here. And you were producing it somewhere in a back room, somewhere where you were saying, I am rich. The word of God says, I am rich, so I believe I am rich. And nobody knows what you're saying, but you're there saying it, and you're confessing it, and it is giving birth to something, and you're watering something. After some time, when you water a plant, it eventually grows. After some time, you see the effect of it. And now, when you start not thinking like a poor person, now you know that something is changing inside you. When you are no longer looking for the cheapest things, and then you know something has changed. And when it changes, now you are really into things. That's the point where nothing can stop you. Amen? That's why people will come and even try to check your phone to see if there are people who send you money. Where do you get money to do your campaigns? Here. Try stopping the word of God, you clowns. Try stopping the word of God. You can't. You can't. It's here. It is settled where? Here. And it was settled a long time ago. So there is nothing. And I'm saying this because I know there's people who are here to, you know. Those clowns have representatives here. So go and tell your clown bosses that forever, O Lord, the fact that I'm rich is settled where? It's settled in heaven. And now it's even settled in my heart. It took me a while to get it settled here. In the meantime, they were almost throwing me out of a house and what, but for me, I was on the word of God. I jammed to believe anything else. I refused to believe anything apart from the word of God. Because I settled it in my mind, He's supreme, He's faithful, He cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. So if it is in His word, that is it. I don't want to hear any other rubbish. Amen? Can you get to that point? Where the word of God is not just you believe, read the Bible. No. Read those words like they are the words from God. And say, what? So this is what the Lord says. And I even stopped calling it the word, called the Bible. Because I started calling it the word of the Lord says. Because you see, if you say Bible, there are people are saying all sorts of Bibles. You say the word of the Lord says that I am blessed. And so I am blessed. And then when you say the word of the Lord, you suddenly start feeling like you're blessed. And then you say the word of the Lord says. And the word of the Lord says. And then you speak it with authority. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Somebody say the word of the Lord says. What does it say? No, say what you want it to say. For you. It says so many things. Start saying what the word of the Lord says. Start practicing what I've just taught you to do here. Speak it under your breath. Speak it under your breath. What does the word of the Lord say that you want to manifest in your life? Start here. Go with that home. Stay with it. Do not let it get out of your mouth. Say it. Say it. Say it. The word of the Lord says I'm healed. The word of the Lord says I'm blessed. The word of the Lord says I'm rich. The word of the Lord says I'm the top, not the bottom. I'm the head, not the tail. The word of the Lord says some of you, even some private things which God has told you between you, the two of you, which are not necessarily the written word of God. But God has said them. Start believing. God said this. But the Lord said this. The Lord said this. The word of the Lord says this. And get yourself in a place of... Continue. Don't yawn. Continue saying something. I want to teach you how to... This is the meaning of meditation. Like you keep on saying something over and over and over. You can say it in a taxi. You don't have to say it loudly where people hear. Just mutter it under your breath. Mutter it under your breath. By His stripes I was healed. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor. So that me through Him might be rich. I am rich because this word of the Lord says this. The word of the Lord says this. The word of the Lord says I will never lack anything. The word of the Lord says, you know, anything. Are you still saying it? Continue saying it. Now these are practicals. We are tired of theory. Get off the phone and confess. You know, you people, now you see, even here in service, you cannot get off your, you can't resist being on your phone. Now when you are broke, put your phone away for at least 1 hour and confess something. It's more important than, because you will see the results at some later stage. So there has to be a sense of you can keep your mind focused on one thing for a long enough time for it to give birth. But you see, the minute you start, the stronghold of a phone comes. Then a phone call. Then a message. Then a TV program that's starting, which you cannot miss. Then what? And there are so many distractions in the world. And like that is the devil's means of keeping you away from something which is so important. Amen? Hey, I'm still giving you time to continue. Don't look at me. Look down and start confessing. I want you to do it long enough now so that you go with it home.
Osanide, osanide. Chiti wacho netendorio buligwanga likusinza bulivivi osanide chiti wacho netendorio Buli guanga, liku sinza, buli vivi, vivi vundama.
Osanide,
osanite, osanite, chiti wacho, etenolio, buigwanga, nikusita, buli vivi, nifunama.
Now there's an anointing to break obstacles here, in the name of Jesus. And what's your name? Come. What's your name? Sharon. There's an anointing here to break obstacles. And, okay. So every obstacle in your life is broken, and I'm saying some specific ones in the name of Jesus, which I am not going to mention. But the one I will mention has something to do with work. And, that obstacle is now completely being broken in the name of Jesus. And all the questions that you had concerning, you know, nothing seems to be working out, and you were really, really in a place of questioning, because you are saying, I've been faithful, I've tried everything that I know, and you're not seeing any reward as it is. Now, the Spirit of the Lord says that I hear the word avalanche. You know an avalanche? An avalanche. You know what an avalanche is? What is it? Okay. Like, yeah, an avalanche of blessings that as if we are held back, but now come pouring.
Amen.
And they come pouring like a downpour. But the word I had was avalanche. So maybe go and check it in the dictionary. In the name of Jesus. Drink a marasita of a shop from Zalas. Even if you don't pray tongues, even in other areas, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, because now you are going to be an example of what I'm talking about. Do you have a child? You don't.
Osanite, chiti wacho, netendoyo, muli kwanga, nikusinza, muli vivirifunda. Osanite, osanite, chiti wacho, netendoyo, Buli kwanga, likusinza, buli vivirifunda.
Now this lady, instead of telling me what is it, you know. So why was I seeing a child? Because there's going to be one very soon.
Amen.
Why is this? for August? Why had you planned for August? Okay, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing upon you. I speak a quickening upon you. And by upon you, I mean both of you. In the name of Jesus, I have a quickening, a super quickening upon you. In the name of Jesus, and I have a blessing upon your plans. In Jesus' name. And something, all sorts of things. By the time you get there, your life will be completely transformed. The obstacles that I'm talking about, you know them now, those ones, which the Lord is also removing. And even in the financial, which is removing. And it is going to be well with you, in the name of Jesus. Say amen. And with him too, with him too, and with her too, in the name of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Amen. Amen. First time. Your husband is not here. Where is he? Okay, I want to go and tell him that the time of promotion is now. And he has suffered for being faithful. But now his God is going to show himself stronger on his behalf in that area, in the name of Jesus. And even every Mondays that have been withheld, and as if people, you tell him this, as if people are fighting him, you know, getting paid for certain things, fighting him, getting on payrolls and everything. Now I release it right now in the name of Jesus, and he shall even be paid back longer. And he shall be accepted the way he wants to be accepted, not the way people have put him somewhere. He will know what I'm talking about, but you know what he wants, and you know where they have put him. So now he's going to be accepted where he wants to be, okay? And there will be an opening, and like, turns out to be the available person, and somehow the door is opened, and from then onwards he becomes a giant in that field.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And because he's faithful and he sticks to what he believes in, and now the Lord is doing something powerful for him.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And now even his brother, the one who is in Jinja, he has also struggled with work a lot, but now I'm also releasing him into something.
Amen.
Actually, it's going to bring him back to Kampala. Now I'm releasing him into something in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I break every witchcraft that has stood in his way, in the way of both of them, both of your husband and his brother. In the name of Jesus, every witchcraft that has stood in their way, I break it in the name of Jesus. And I decree that they come out on top, and their God shows himself strong on their behalf in the name of Jesus. And everyone will know that indeed Yahweh is for them. When they stand out, and they stand out, and they surmount all the forces of darkness that were arrayed against them, in the name of Jesus. I am even a sister of theirs, the same thing. Not the who is here. There is another one, the other side. Who was at Kusiranade? But then all of them.
Amen.
Is she even one of them?
Yes, she is.
Okay, so go and tell him that that his time is now, and his brother's time is now, and their sister's time is now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That gentle, you gentlemen, you first come here. What's your name? Eh?
Samuel.
Omoding, eh? Also, your obstacles are being removed. And especially in work. In work and obstacles and frustrations. And you get back into your profession. What are you?
Banker.
Yes, you get back into your profession. Are you working anywhere in the bank now?
Not yet.
Okay, now you get back there. And you've done some jobs which are not there. Now you're getting back there.
Amen.
Where you like as at the level, you know, at a high level. In the, have you applied for any?
Not in the bank.
Not in the bank. Somewhere else. Eh? Is it a financial institution? Because I'm seeing
it's attached to URA.
Now, there were things which were said about you in regard to your conduct when you were in the bank.
Yes, please.
Concerning, you know, some apparent fraudulent things and so on. Or people were accused you of doing something. Is that true? There were things which were said about you. Whether you know it, I don't know, but you must know it. I'm sure you know it. Which bank were you working?
I used to go back to a bank, then later on DFC.
DFC. Why did you leave?
I was just there.
Just what?
I was just tired. The nature of the work. Basically, the mode of the work in DFC was different from work in the bank. So I kind of pushed us a bit.
I see you were singled out by somebody for really bad, like bad mouthing sort of. Okay, you, old man. A good report about you in the name of Jesus. A good report about you in Jesus' name, and looking, searching out. Somebody comes and they come and search out for you. Not even necessarily where you applied, but somehow you come up, your name comes up, and they come and search for you and say, you know, Modun can do this and this and so on, and you gain an entry. I see, like it has to be a financial institution, either bank or financial institution, and I see a turning around, as in financially, a complete turning around. And because I, when I go ahead, like 3 or 4 months, I see you looking totally different. Like I even see you put on weight, and you're looking different. And the picture I see then is not what I'm seeing now. The other picture is of you, somebody who is sitting on a heavy wallet. That's what I'm seeing. And I see you coming here, looking completely different. And everybody will see that something changed. Something has changed, which had not been there for quite a while, for a very long time. Because you've spent a long time without real employment. Where do you work now? But that's not your level, eh?
No, it's not.
That's not your level. Now you're getting into your level.
Eh? Amen.
And I'm seeing it. Where does it end you?
It's supposed to end this year by end of July.
Okay. So in 3 or 4 months you're going to be different. Anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's okay, you can go and sit down. Okay. Today I'm going to take the offering. I'm late to take the offering, so you just get your offering and let me pray for it before I go.
Make a season,
Just get hold of your offering in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because this is a connection to the next level in the name of Jesus. It's a connection to the next level. Somebody say next level.
Next level.
This is a connection to the next level in the name of Jesus. And every obstacle has been removed. Every obstacle has been removed that stands in the way of your success. Some of you in areas of marriage, others in a lot of you in areas of, some in areas of travel, like somebody who was supposed to travel, obstacles. Others in areas, so many of course in the areas of finances, things which were supposed to happen, supposed to have happened. Somebody in March, then you waited, then it didn't happen, and then it did happen again. But now something is going to happen for you in the name of Jesus. So if there's something that has you've been believing God for and just was not breaking free, now believe God that in this week you're going to see a complete difference. By this week, I mean the next 7 days. You're going to be see a complete turnaround in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman. And on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.